The grace of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, all yours by faith in Him. We listen to one of the seven letters, the last of the seven letters to the seven churches, Revelation 3, 14 to 22. It's our second reading on page 7, if you'd like to follow along. To the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, "The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, says this, I know your works, that they are neither cold or hot. If only you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and not hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have become very wealthy and need nothing. But you do not know that you are miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be made come public, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I rebuke and discipline those whom I love. So take this seriously and repent. Look, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in with him and dine with him and he with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The word of the Lord, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, dearly beloved, redeemed. 700 years before Christ, 800 years before our text, the prophet Isaiah was given a vision of the throne room of God with these fiery seraphim flying around and calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of armies. The whole world, the whole earth is full of His glory." And he was terrified. He cried out, "I am doomed, I am ruined, because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, carrying a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, "Look, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away and your sin is forgiven." So, where do you live? Hopefully dining with Jesus. Hopefully not in Laodicea. Just a challenge. Sometime in the next few days and weeks, read Revelation, then read Isaiah, then read Revelation again. It'll take a while, but it's amazing. 800 years apart, and the same Holy Spirit inspired them both. The connections are just, God's work and God alone. So where do you live if you were living back in the time of Isaiah 700 BC? He's warning the people about two empires coming. One, the Assyrians, they're at the doors. They're at the gates. Northern kingdom, it's going into exile. Little Judah will survive another 100 years to the south, but then come the Babylonians. They need encouragement, God's people do, and they need warning. Because it was a time when sex education was compulsory. It was in the whole public system. Young people, in order to be in the in crowd, had to give up their virginity as part of their religion to Baal and the Asherahs. It was on every high hill, under every spreading tree. It was all over. The kings were into it. The people were into it. When the kings weren't, the people were, and vice versa. God was angry. Where do you live? Isaiah had to live there. But he had hope, because there's no real life in Laodicea. John, 100 AD. If you're living then, you're in the Roman Empire. Unfortunately, John was alone, but if you were with him at the time, you'd be on the island of Patmos in exile with him. Because you're back to compulsory, gross immorality among the emperors, required of the people who are supposed to swear allegiance and worship the emperors as God, and along with them all the idols of Rome and local deities too. Paul says in the end they were just worshiping demons. Satan was behind all of it, and that's what they were doing, and John said no. No way. Christ alone is all I will worship. Isaiah, John, do you care? You see how much they cared? Where do you live? The messenger of the church in Laodicea is basically the pastor. And it is quite a lesson in all of these given first to the pastor. We'll get to the end of the letter and see where it also applies, but to the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation says this. He's identifying himself as the Amen. Where everything all comes down in the end, it all comes down to Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. All of Scripture is about him. He's the beginning and the end, and he is the faithful one. All God's promises came true in Jesus, and he is so faithful that to fulfill God's promises, he was willing to suffer and die for all of us and all people, many of whom would never take God's word seriously, never hear these words or listen to them when they did. But he spoke. He's faithful, and he's a true witness, Jesus is. The word behind witness is the Greek word martyros. You hear martyr there? There were lay people dying too. They said no to emperor worship and they said yes to Christ alone. There's a price to be paid, but the price was saying in Jesus Christ and in all the Christian people that life on this earth is not worth living. It can't be lived. There is no life in Laodicea. There's only life with Jesus. He says to those in Laodicea, pastor first, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. If only you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and not hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Ooh. This is actually sanitized a bit. It's not the word in Greek for spit. It's the word for what happens in your stomach when you can't hold the can't hold it in your mouth anymore. The water in Laodicea apparently was so bad. There were no hot springs, you know, for mineral baths like everybody loves even to this day. And there was no cool water flowing out of any mountains for drinking for the thirsty. It was kind of like water can stink really bad in some places if you set it out on the counter long enough and it gets lukewarm. This was so bad that you couldn't keep your breakfast down. It had to come. That's what God is saying. The pastor, lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, and don't we think so? I've become very wealthy and need nothing, but you do not know that you are miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not become public, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Strong advice. Recognize a problem. Hear our Lord echoing words from the dear prophet Isaiah that we'll get to in a minute. But remember, you don't have to live in Laodicea. You know what it's like with compulsory, immoral sex education getting into our schools. Do you care? Many Christian parents are stepping up and opposing it. Wickedness in high places. Do you care? Or do you kind of just step back and not worry about it if the evil official just happens to agree with your own political views? And the corruption of word and sacrament in the visible Christian church in America today, do you care? Or are you happy to just drown it all out with good music and walk past the cross unfeeling? You don't have to live in Laodicea. One thing's needful, Lord, this treasure. Teach me highly to regard. All else, though at first give pleasure, is a yoke that presses hard. Beneath it, the heart is still fretting and striving, no true lasting happiness ever deriving. The gain of this one thing all loss can requite. Oh, teach me in all things to find true delight. The author of that hymn was a Lutheran pastor. The end of the 1600s, Reverend Johann Schrader, ordained, and then 6 months later, his wife died. Within 2 years, Pastor Schrader passed away at the age of 32. God only allowed him 3 years in this privilege of ministry before the Lord called him home. But he knew the one thing needful. He knew he did not have to live in Laodicea. Dining with Jesus is so much better. I rebuke and discipline those whom I love. Maybe that doesn't sit well at first. But he says in Hebrews 12, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. The Lord disciplines those he loves. And there's this call of generosity already in the verses I already read. It's echoing Isaiah 55. It's another scripture reading from another Sunday. But in Isaiah 55, I like this better from the NIV 84, the first 2.5 verses. He says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. Great David's greater son, and that covenant of pure grace and pure forgiveness, that's the place to be. There's no life in Laodicea. But dining with Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, it's always good with Jesus, even when he has to rebuke us, even when he has to discipline us, because he disciplines those he loves. The word in this case is not the agape, self-sacrificing love of Christ. This one is that friendship love, the phileo, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So Jesus is talking here about a close relationship, and he wants us to just take this seriously and repent. None of us can make ourselves be hot when we're lukewarm. And we're cold, we don't care. But it's the Lord who comes and gives us true repentance by his Spirit sent from heaven. Whispers this transporting sentence, remember that? Son, thy sins are all forgiven. That's where the caring comes from. It's the power of that good news. And you don't even have to go out for groceries for this. You think you're troubled and disturbed and upset about the world in which we live? Well, much of that is because you are the people of God and He's upset. Much of your anger and frustration is because God is restoring His image in you by faith, and there's good reason to hate evil. In fact, Jesus says anyone who loves the world hates God. He says, the world hated me, so it will hate you too. So He says, look, I stand at the door and I am knocking. When you get frustrated like that, just stop and meditate a little bit on God's word. Think about it. The last passage you read in the Bible, your confirmation verse, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed. Think through those words to bring you Jesus once again and realize there's a knocking going on. Not in the fiery wind of human opinion, the shouting that goes on in our world. It's still in that gentle whisper of God's word. You don't always hear it, because He's not going to force Himself on anybody. The fact that He's been standing there is His patience, just waiting for you to hear, just waiting for you to open your heart's door. I stand at the door and I am knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in with him and dine with him, and he with me. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away all fear. Isn't that what it means to dine with Jesus? And don't we recognize him finally? Like the Emmaus disciples that first Easter, walking and talking with Jesus, not knowing who it was, not being able to understand why he doesn't know what was going on in Jerusalem, what things he asks. And then he opens the scripture to them and tells them why the Messiah had to suffer and die, why this was God's plan and why it had to be. And finally, he looks like he's going on. He's going to pass them by. And oh, that prayer, sweet, isn't it? Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. And as he comes in to dine with them, when do they recognize him? At the breaking of bread. He disappears. They run back to Jerusalem. He's there already. He's glorified in his risen body. Peace be with you. He says that to us too when he comes in to dine with us. We pray, abide with me. He says to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it's not just to the pastors. All seven letters end the same way. If you have an ear, listen. Obviously, it's not just even to the church people, because other people have ears too. He wants everybody to listen, to take warning, to be encouraged that Christ died for all, so that we can all be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Grace teaches us to keep our eyes on Jesus. And when we're dining with Jesus, there's life there in Him, so that we can always be thinking about what God did for us instead of what we're trying to do for God. If you remember where that one thing needful came from, it was the sisters Mary and Martha. Martha all upset because they had drop-in visitors from Jesus and his disciples, and Mary sitting there listening at Jesus' feet, and Martha feeling like Jesus doesn't care. Oh, but Martha, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better thing and it will not be taken from her. There's just one thing needful. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, because it's the voice of Jesus, the good news, that makes us here and opens the door for me. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. It's the gospel that motivates and empowers us to see the evil around us and say no. Christ alone. He is my joy, my strength, my crown. It's the voice of Jesus that raises the sin, dead, deaf. It's the voice of Jesus who gives life to souls that are dying without God. It's the voice of Jesus that catches the heart that was stone cold. And when you hear his voice and he comes in to eat with you, Lord, I want that again and again. Just listen. I'm knocking at your door. And when you hear his voice, what can we say as God's people? You know it. Say it with me. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. And all God's people say, amen. Please rise.